Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Welcome back to another planet hopping, edition testing, mystery solving episodes of the Starfinder 2E playtest here on Cosmic Crit. This is your forever GM, Patrick, and joining me in iconic adventures of the Starfinder Society variety are my good friends, Drew, Miles, Rebecca, and Tyler. Howdy, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. What's
up? And happy birthday to the Drewster. We're playing on your actual birthday. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah.
I can finally rent a car.
This is my present to you.
My wife was literally, are you sure you're recording tonight? I said, yeah. But it's Drew's actual birthday. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I don't make the rules for Drew.
Maybe because Jabert already asked for the night off and I didn't.
That monster.
Oh, Jabert's not here.
Call him up on speed dial.
We could have played on another night of the week. It's there's more than... in one day, but no, we're gonna have too much fun, and we have to get to this playtest because two weekends ago now was Gen Con 2024, and that means officially the Starfinder second edition playtest has begun. So over the next month or so, we're gonna try and muster through some of these smaller Starfinder Society adventures. Two of them came out at Gen Con, one comes out at the end of September, another in October. Maybe playing mostly with the iconics for those, just because they're easy to jump in and play with whoever's available to play on that given night. But that is just for the next month or so. We do want to get through some of the longer adventures, and there's two of those coming out, playtest adventures, including Cosmic Birthday. And we want to take some time and make some characters for that and do some longer playthroughs. Are you guys excited about kind of about the length of a book and a half, I would call it, of a regular Starfinder adventure? So, you know, like 10 to 15 episodes, perhaps.
I already have a page of background written, baby.
Oh no, Tyler, that's so early. So early. Yeah, we'll be playing those. And, you know, these playtests are going to kind of be sporadic as we have time and fill some gaps here on Cosmic Crit, on our Patreon. We apologize for regular listeners and Tyler. We're leaving off on a bit of a cliffhanger where we were in Horizons of the Vast. I'm sure we'll get back and discover the fate of your character, Tyler, eventually. But
If you weren't so beautiful, I'd be so mad at you.
Yeah, but I guess I can't speak for everybody, but I am very excited about Starfinder 2E and the playtest. We've only done a few of the field test kind of things so far. And yeah, I hope everyone out there listening also enjoys it in this year and going into the game launch year of 2025. It's been a long road getting from 1E to 2E, but not as long as I thought. I thought we were going to have to wait like 10 years for second edition to come out, because that's the amount of time I think Pathfinder had by itself, you know? But I'm still very excited. Are you guys ready to dive into this week's adventure?
Oh, surely not, but I don't think we have much choice.
Yeah. This is all you're doing the rest of your... We're playing until midnight, so I'm going to take up the rest of your birthday, Drew, by the way.
Good.
We are
playing... I have a hard out at 10.
10 till 12? Okay, we can make that work. We're playing Shards of the Glass Planet by Mike Kimmel. Are you guys ready to jump into the first ever official Starfinder second edition society playtest on Cosmic Crit?
It's exciting. Let's do it.
Okay. This playtest starts. We see a massive, sleek starship floating in space. It looks to have the craftsmanship of both Versite space yards and Kasothan engineers. There's large sweeping wings, a modular hull ready to be altered, expanded, and redesigned. You all recognize this ship as the one that has helped you travel half across the vast. It is a Weydan temple vessel called the Stylus of Destiny. And it has kind of like a bird of prey like design, you know, kind of like large sweeping wings.
Like a Peridot Peregrine?
that one looks more
on my
like
birthday,
a...
Tyler.
Oh no! I'm supposed to be your white knight. I forgot.
I screwed up. I did that out.
No, see, I was comparing it to a bird of prey just for Drew, and you had to go and ruin it. No, it's got kind of.
And I didn't do it.
Forward.
That's the best part.
if you look up Wei Dan, it also kind of looks like the symbol of the god of exploration. And we watch as the pod bay doors open up on the ship and a small shuttle exits, speeding towards, as the camera whips around, the bright blue and green planet that lies below. One that looks like it has a magical dome enclosure over its entire atmosphere. As we draw closer, the shuttle speeds towards it. We see purple and green warping energy fields kind of covering the planet like a blanket. And we watch as the shuttle kind of slips towards a little gulf in that energy field that almost looks like a broken window in the coverage, as jagged edges of warped reality and magic seem to cleave the sky in twain. And through this partition, we watch as your ship begins to slowly make a descent towards what looks like a lush forest below. Let's start this playtest off by going around the horn and you guys tell me which of the six level one iconics that came out with the playtest you chose for this mission, this level one mission. A birthday boy, Drew, who are you playing?
You know, it wouldn't be a brand new Starfinder adventure if I wasn't dipping my toe back into the Envoy pool, baby. I'm playing Navasi.
You guys only get one class, and Drew's call it.
I tried to call the Solarian, but it was already taken.
We're gonna have to for the character creation for Cosmic Birthday. We're gonna have to have like a draft or something.
Please no, I already have a build. Don't do that to me. Don't you dare.
you better hope you can trade.
I like the sound of that.
oh no, I'm scared, mommy.
Right, Navasi, our human envoy, who they changed up the class a little bit. I think we talked about in some of the field tests, more like a battle leader than and skill monkey than in the past. But obviously still has get 'em, the classic. Classic.
I would say
class ability.
Envoys, if you built them right, could be skill monkeys. Knack was a pretty good skill monkey, but
yeah.
But Knack also kind of the buffs in battle were always there, but not that, especially compared to something that, you know, like an operative could do. And the damage was never really there. But I feel like we're going to see some differences based on what I'm looking
at. Well, get 'em is even better in the playtest because you have lead by example.
Yeah. And I noticed, I think this is a change from the field test that we've done with Navasi, but leading by example, the bonus damage for everyone is plus one, but for you is plus three. Is that right? Did I read that right? I was very quickly copying these into our game. Yeah.
If you attack the target you select before the end of your turn, you reveal a weak point in your foe's defenses. You get a plus three circumstance bonus to damage rolls, and your allies gain a plus one to damage rolls. So
you definitely want to lead by example there. All right. Who wants to go next? Who wants to talk about another iconic?
Sure.
No,
I can.
Oh, I heard Tyler first. Tyler.
Yay. I'm a Messiah. I'm a soldier. I'm back. Yay!
A Vesk soldier? A Vesk soldier. What a reach for Tyler.
Hey, and I know Messiah sounds like this.
I mean, let's face it.
At least you don't have a Doshko, right?
I do have a Doshko, actually.
Oh, no.
And I have a huge machine gun. It's very, very big, and it has auto fire.
Back in the soldier, it seems like Paizo really wanted to emphasize the gun part of Starfinder. I think they saw that every soldier and their disciple was wielding massive two-handed weapons, and they thought, well, you know, what if we made shooting more interesting? And so There's a lot more pew pew options. When you hit people with pew pew, they go ah, and then they kind of debuff a little bit. And so, you know, the more people you can pew pew, the more debuff, the less damage, better for you all around. So,
and from the field tests, I think Rebecca made a soldier and we were pretty underwhelmed with it. They changed the auto fire and like area fire to now you can do the same kind of area effect weapons. Like this Obazai has a machine gun and can auto fire. In addition to that, which is a two action attack, you can select a primary target within your area or auto fire to also make an attack against, which is pretty, yes, pretty awesome. So
it's very nice because the cone in auto fire, you don't make an attack roll. It's just a DC save, mm-hmm, which means if people critical succeed, you don't do anything. And so there is like zero incentive to do that against fast enemies because they're very likely to critically succeed. So being able to do that and still make a direct attack against a primary target makes that option much more of a bread and butter kind of option rather than it's very situational.
It's crazy because in that situation, you can auto fire on a single target. They can critically fail their, you know, save. Mm-hmm. And then you can also critically hit them with your attack. So soldiers now have like basically the opportunity to do like a 4x crit in right, one turn and also area fire damage.
Yeah. The one thing about it that is, you know, when I was initially reading it that I had concerns over is that the ammo expenditure to do all this is very specific and very, you know, because it's like however many targets are in your cone times two and then plus whatever you fire at the primary target. So, you know, like in the middle of rolling and doing all this, also tracking this much ammo expenditure, and as a GM, you know, when after someone's done this three times, you're like, you really have any bullets in that gun? You know, yeah, that kind of upkeep always makes me go, oh, I wonder if this is going to be one of those just like pain in the butts versus like, oh, I don't really have to keep track of that if I just stab you. So we'll see.
I think it's, I was, like I said, very unhappy with the soldier at first. And now I really want to just make a ton of builds with like area fire weapons with, yeah. I don't know if you can, I mean, grenades are area fire. So can they use primary targets with grenade? No, it's gotta be like something you can attack with.
If it was a grenade launcher, maybe. Yeah. I know there are grenade launchers, so.
Yes, and they work very similar. Okay, Rebecca, let's get to you. We know who you're playing because Drew spoiled. Yep.
Yeah, much like Drew, I am once again reviving Day, the Solarian.
One of our new iconics, a Pathra Solarian, and we've learned recently that the Pathra are, you know, besides becoming an iconic ancestry, are also revolting against the Vescarium in the current Starfinder 2E. So I'm pretty excited that they're coming coming to the forefront. And I'm excited for hopefully some more Vescarium kind of centered adventures. I think the second playtest adventure, which is a level 10 adventure, kind of deals with the Vescarium. Yes. And I don't remember exactly how new Solarians work, but I have a general idea. They're pretty awesome.
I remember really enjoying playing Day before, so I'm hoping that it's more of the same, that they haven't changed too much, that they haven't nerfed them, but we'll see.
And Miles, on to you. We're playing an iconic that I think you've played before, but never in second edition. Who are you? What class are you doing?
I am playing the Witchwarper Zamir. Have I played him before?
I believe so in first edition. Let's
just say that I haven't because I don't remember it at all.
I don't remember the one special adventure that we did. I forget exactly which one it was, but it was pretty lower level. Yeah, Witchwarper is now a core Starfinder class, is one of the six that is going to be in the second edition kind of base class instead of Technomancer, which I was surprised by. but
yeah, I mean, I was, it's so weird. I think it's only because like my first character was a technomancer, but I feel this weird defense for that class.
Yeah.
but with like no actual reasoning to, because I think I was hissing and moaning the entire time I was a technomancer.
Well, the thing is, they are space wizards. We are going to get a technomancer, I think, in 2026 officially, and they're going to playtest next year once the game comes out. But to be honest, if you wanted to play something akin to a technomancer when Starfinder 2e launches, just make a sorcerer, you know, sorcerer and take kind of those spells. I like that the systems kind of work in conjunction with one another. That being said, I'm still not, Witchwarper is one of the classes I'm not completely sold on because of the options that they have in this playtest. One of them, you basically can make a Witchwarper into a precog, so that class might be
It makes me think that they were trying to like rethink their spellcasters in general, and were maybe trying to condense them into maybe one or two classes.
So someone pointed this out online, that each of the six base classes in Starfinder 2e, Envoy, Mystic, Operative, Solarian, Soldier, and Witchwarper, each of them corresponds with one of the six attributes. So Soldier is Constitution, Solarian is Strength, Operative is Dexterity, Mystic, Willpower, Envoy,
Charisma,
and Witchwarper, Intellect. I guess they could have had Technomancer in that intellect spot, but makes me think they might change Technomancer to something besides intelligence. I don't know, but yeah. But a lot of spells that I can foresee being on a Technomancer list. So, but yeah, Zamir, pretty cool character. I was also surprised that we have these six iconics and two of them are human. Got a bunch of humans now. Navasi and Zamir. Right, so we've got Day, Zamir, Navasi, and Obazai. A crack team put together and sent on this mission. And as you're taking the shuttle down to the planet, you get a message from your mission organizer. Your comms kind of all light up at the same time, and you hear in your armor's comm piece, welcome to Burnham's Bubble Survey Team. We've had our eyes on this planet for many years. No one in recorded history has ever passed through the energy field surrounding the planet to learn why all its living people and animals are missing, or who built the ancient cities that dot the surface. In the wake of the drift crisis, though, the energy field has begun to shatter, falling piece by piece to the surface. While this enables us to explore the planet, the field's collapse is causing great destruction, which we project will only get worse in time. On behalf of the Church of Waydan, he who is the Endless Horizon, I thank you for your help in exploring the planet before its secrets are lost forever. You'll be joining one of the Hinterlands survey teams at the coordinates provided. Beep, beep. They're investigating interesting structures in the jungle near one of the planet's cities. We believe these structures are linked to the Magitek satellites that generate the planet's energy field. If we can find out how to activate these structures, we might be able to stabilize the field's collapse and preserve the planet. Coordinate with the team to survey the area, and above all else, remember that our mission is one of peace. Signing off for now, this is Captain Expediate of the Stylus of Destiny. Good luck, Starfinders. And it's Expediate, like the number 8, Expediate 8.
Oh, that's cute.
Every
time you say Stylus of Destiny, I think of Tenacious D.
I do too.
Well, rock on.
Yeah.
Yes, the Stylus of Destiny is so funny. I love taking kind of like modern technology stuff and making it into a ship name.
Stylus of Destiny also just makes me think of like some sort of like special edition Nintendo DS.
Nintendo like DS.
When you pre-order Spirit Tracks DS, you get the Stylus of Destiny.
Right, exactly. Something like that.
Right. So you guys have
also unrelated. Zamir has Tanakh tattooed on his lower backside.
Tanakh?
Have you not seen Pick of Destiny?
No, I just mentioned a restaurant earlier before we started recording again. Where I mentioned to that restaurant, Tanakh. You all have been hired through back channels at Starfinder Society HQ to work for the Church of Wadan and investigate this very odd planet known as Burnham's Bubble. So yeah, this is an exploration kind of mission. The planet has been impenetrable to ships, communications, scans for millennia, like all recorded space history. So it has been kind of one of the oddest works of space travel is finding this planet that is impossible to land on. But yeah, now it seems like there are giant holes in this magical barrier above the planet's surface, and we watch as your ship lands upon the resplendent planet below, right below this magical barrier. And I'm gonna take us to our first map here. Shoop.
So we're the first off-worlders on this planet?
Well, no, you're meeting up with a team that's already there, so quite definitely not the first. You step out and you're like, one step for the Starfinders and a giant. Oh, and there's like 18 people down here.
All right, well, maybe I can still be the first person to kill something from the local flora or fauna.
Maybe not the first person to kill something or someone, but the first person to kill something or someone that's really cool and powerful. Let's go.
Literally, the last thing Expedient 8 said was, this is a mission of peace.
Oh, Tyler.
Tyler's so animated. Tyler,
he keeps talking.
Tyler, we can't hear a word you're saying, buddy.
Your microphone cut out.
His mic cut out. He's still talking, but like, he's got nothing.
It was like his mic heard him start to talk and was like, nope, you're done.
No, we're done with this. Yeah.
Tyler's power went out, and it caused some havoc in his side of the recording. Oh, maybe we'll get Tyler back.
Yeah.
One day.
Tyler, say a word.
Word?
Yo!
To your mother?
He's back. To your mother. Better than ever.
I don't know what's going on, folks. This is ridiculous.
I don't know why
you try your best to RP some iconics, which nobody's comfortable with, and the game technology just blasts you. It's ridiculous.
You literally picked the easiest iconic, Tyler. You're just a big, fun gal.
Well,
if I'm picking,
which is exactly why I was like, mine's the easiest. I might as well start with some playful banter about murder. And then technology was like, not today.
You were describing how much Obaziah wants to kill the first thing see on this planet.
Yeah. What I was having Obaziah say was, everyone wants a mission of peace until someone needs to be shot in the face. And then who do they come to? Me.
Big guns. BG. Big guns. Yeah. Obaziah. BGO. Oh, right. The route from the energy shield entry point down to the planet indeed leads you past a pristine but very empty looking ghost city full of glistening buildings. You land in a small clearing on the outskirts of this verdant jungle. It's just large enough. You see there's a second ship and beyond it a few tents of the Wadanite Advance Survey Team shuttle. You see maybe the shuttle has taken a little bit of damage as what looks like a giant blast of energy has hurt one of its wings. As your ship lands, the sensor readouts on the main screen indicate ambient energy of indeterminate danger in the atmosphere. But for now, all is calm and perhaps too calm as the shuttle opens here. You guys disembark. You get the oddest feeling because despite the lush jungle surroundings, the greenery everywhere around you here, the only audible sound is a very light wind kind of gently rustling the leaves of this planet's strange flora. There's no buzzing insects, no chirping birds, no other sight nor sound of life outside of the survey team here.
Can I sense motive on that wind?
it's an ominous wind, so you got its number, Drew.
It's got an odd sulfur smell, and you realize you're downwind from Omaziah.
Drew, go ahead and roll it. You know, you think you're having a joke, but I'm gonna lie. It's your birthday, man. You roll whatever you want.
That's a perception check in Pathfinder 2nd Edition and Starfinder 2nd Edition.
It took sense motive, got the chopping block.
14.
Yeah, seems like a perfectly natural wind. There's nothing super ominous about it, but indeed, it is really the only sound here. That tracks with what you've been told. Supposedly, you know, people could see through the atmosphere down to the planet below, but saw that there were no animals, no peoples, despite there being fairly large cities on the planet. As you step off of your shuttle and head towards the tents, you all are approached by someone, a curious looking Kasothan explorer who kind of waves you over with two hands while the other two are taking notes on a data pad. This figure right here in front of you on the map.
Hello there, I'm Mehuzhel, head of this little team. We've discovered a tower here we think will help stabilize the planet's shattering energy field. We're preparing to activate it, but before we do, we've got a lot of the site to survey still. We've noted some other points of interest as well in the area. There's the tower itself, some strange consoles to the south, odd rock formations to the north, and potentially dangerous flora to the east. We called in for reinforcements because with time being our enemy, we were hoping that you all could help us sort this area out. Could you help us out before we try and activate the tower?
We'd be happy to. The price is right. And, well, let's just get started.
Absolutely. I'm a biological elimination expert. Those flowers are mine.
Oh, you don't have to destroy them. We're more in the cataloging and classification system here.
Exactly. And in my...
Why did you bring a machine gun?
Oh, well, because in botany, they're easier to classify when they're dead.
Hey, Obaziah, let's cool your jets there a little bit.
It's been a long ride in the ship.
I'm
just going to say she's not wrong. Sometimes things try to attack you and those things need to be dead. So
they, please. Thank you.
I was talking about Obaziah. So,
oh. I'd like to try my hand at playing some bass for the flora, see if it might help them regain their life.
Do you think Day is holding a bass guitar?
Yeah, that's their solar weapon. I've decided. I don't know what. That's what I've decided it is. It deals bludgeoning damage.
It's not, but one of the abilities that Solarians have is called Reforge Weapon.
Yes. And I have reforged my weapon into a bass guitar that deals bludgeoning damage.
I love it.
That scene from Scott Pilgrim where you're just...
I mean, it's a little fully, but you know.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah, I forget. She had a whip or something, or they had a whip normally, but... It only takes 10 minutes to reforge your weapon in exploration mode. So indeed, you can shape it. I think a bass guitar, that'd be like an axe, right? You'd like wield it like you're about to smash the guitar. I mean,
or a hammer.
Colloquially, some people would call it an axe, but usually that's the rhythm guitar, the melody guitar.
Something would deal slashing damage, though. It would bludgeoning, right?
Yeah. That's fine.
Axe slash. We're really hovering around a certain thing. I feel like we're closing in.
Oh, did I forget to mention the Kasothan as soon as he stepped down was like, welcome to the jungle. The first thing I need to explain, there's no fun and games here. Okay. We're here to work. Literally, the sky is falling and I'm not Chicken Little. Okay. So yeah, on the map, you can see there are some numbers I've thrown around here, some different sites to go explore and do some surveying. And depending on how well you do at surveying, you get surveying points. And the surveying points you can turn in for Starfinder bucks. And for each Starfinder buck that you earn, you get a new, you get credits, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's one credit for one credit for five
situation.
Yeah, it does sound like a shroot buck situation.
Yeah, it's completely
I will be collecting Stanley nickels along the way.
Skittermander half dollars. Right. So do you guys wanna divide up and go and look in different directions? Do you wanna go to one area? What would you like to do?
I think we're gonna go in one area together because we've practiced our strut the entire way here.
On the shuttle,
especially because I have no skills, so you know,
zero skills.
I mean,
that doesn't sound good.
Zamir's fine splitting up,
right? So there are, yeah, what look like maybe some very interesting kind of ruins to the south miles, and you see what looks like a Skittermander down there, kind of exploring them.
Yeah, stay away from that.
Some maybe magically charged rock formations, number 2 and 3 on the map as well.
Yeah, number 2 was of interest to Zamir. I can't move my character, though.
None of us can, Miles.
I can move mine, so.
No, you should be able to.
The birthday character can move. Of course.
I just realized I do have skills. They just were not set up on my character sheet, so doing that now.
So yeah, Zamir's going to check out number 2.
I'm going to go make sure.
Also, not saying like a word to anyone because Zamir's whole deal is kind of being mysterious. So he hasn't said a word to anyone.
That's fine. Obaziah would just see you marching off towards something magical.
Marching's a strong word. Slink. He's slinking.
Hold on. Let me see if I even notice you.
Is this tree able to be leaned against?
The stump?
Yeah, it's a tree. It's a full tree. You can lean against it.
Navasi is going to go lean against that tree and just watch what Zamir's doing.
Looks like a tree stump, not a full tree.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's top down, so they can't really like show the full top of the tree. Whenever you
just
see
it, look like a huge bush.
Yeah, whenever you see a tree that kind of looks like chopped in half like that, it's a full tree. We are in a lush jungle forest. So does everyone want to stick together, kind of watch Zamir do some work?
Y'all can do other stuff.
Navasi's given Zamir his distance to make him think that he's doing this on his own when we're ready to jump in should things go sideways.
It has nothing to do with any sort of like, oh, I'm doing this on my own. Zamir is not registering anything. He is 100% just fascinated by this magical like situation and does not care about anything else.
Yeah, so as you head up to this section to the north here of the map, you see a formation of what looks like glowing boulders standing high atop the ledge. These boulders resemble some of the darkened boulders to the southwest, the number 1 area. But as you get close to them, you see them emit a kind of a liminal light around their edges, and they seem to be humming slightly.
Is it a tune that I recognize? I have media lore.
I was going to ask the same question, but yeah.
it's that one Colgate commercial. All the rocks are just humming it out. Well, why don't you make me a perception check so you can figure out what the sound is.
It's like, wow, what a difference. Blockbuster video.
All right. Well, Day's rolled the 1, so Rebecca's off to a great start. Let's see here. It looks like the mirror, as you get close to it, your hands kind of moving over the edge of the rocks. You indeed notice that there are these tiny little glowing dust motes floating a few inches above the rocks. You can make I actually don't know if any of these characters have life science lore, but you can make anyone that wants to investigate kind of what seems like a bioluminescent moss around the rocks. You can make a nature check.
Yeah, Day, be nature?
Yep. Day, as you get close to it, I don't know if does Day have music lore or performance?
I have performance.
You can make a performance check. Or medicine, it says.
Can this performance check be assisted?
It's a two. Oh my gosh.
Oh, you're doing better, Rebecca. One and a two. Yeah, I would have, Drew.
Samir rolled a 19 nature.
So I was gonna say I'd roll it yourself. So I should mention you'll get more survey points the better you do and the more you roll here. So
well, I'd recommend Navasi's gonna roll up and do her own performance check.
Okay. You can also do medicine. I think I mentioned that. Medicine or life science.
Does my 19 nature do anything?
It does. Oh, yeah.
Because Drew came to the rescue and did nothing.
Miles, what was your role?
What do you mean was my role?
Like, I don't see
your role either.
In the chat, it just goes, Drew, me, what? Rebecca, back to Drew. Like, you're not there.
Well, that's interesting because it just says 2GM on when I roll.
You rolled it in secret to Patrick.
Well, I was about to say, I can see him perfectly fine. No worries. That's Tyler, hilarious. do you want to have a look into this?
I have no idea how I did that then.
I mean, yeah, you must have just clicked something on accident, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Figure it out yourself. You're big,
oh, Jesus. Big boy.
You're big boy. That'll be your presence.
No. They can't see it. I don't care. You can see it.
Okay. All right. Well, that is a lot of misses. I will say, Zamir, your 19 nature check that only I can verify is a single success. And as you're investigating,
a 16 is a failure at level.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the suck, Tyler.
What?
As Zamir is investigating the glowing dust motes, indeed, you can see it comes from a thin layer of bioluminescent moss that seems to be growing on, but as you investigate, seems to be growing out of the boulder in patterns that kind of look like veins of ore. Like this thing is infused with life. These rocks infused with life. So that is a single success on the charged rock formation, which means you get a survey point.
Is this life that can be shot and killed?
The rock? I mean, probably. I wouldn't.
Obo, you worried about lichen right now? You worried about lichen? I'm
they're about to lichen these bullets.
I'm about to lichen you across this map to something that's more up your alley.
Oh boy. Right, so that is this area. You have four more to explore. You don't have to divide up, but you want to hit some of these up faster, you can.
Well, but it sounds like the more successes on these, the more points. So we would want more rolls on them. Yeah.
Well, also, if you ever roll a critical success on any of these, you get two survey points. Ooh.
Well, considering...
unless we're in a rush, why not just stick together?
It's a good point.
Are we in a rush?
Yeah, what's marked on number... I mean,
the sky is falling, so kind of, but not like...
Did you say there was another thing that was kind of magically inclined?
Number one over here?
Yeah, so the one looks like these rocks, but not glowing. That looks like kind of just regular rocks. Area 3 is a Magitech tower that kind of looks like there are similar looking satellites that ring the planet that seem to have created perhaps the energy barrier. And okay. 4 is what looks like a set of ancient looking consoles in like the outcroppings of a stone structure.
Zamir is going to head to 1 to kind of see if he can't differentiate what has transpired as to why 1 is full of life and glowing and 1 isn't.
Why do you sound so far away, Miles? You sound a little...
Do I?
A little roomy. Yeah, bring your microphone. Bring your microphone closer. Let's get you.
I'm right up on my mic.
Now you.
Well, you are now.
You sound silky smooth.
I was like right here, so it's not that different.
No, you were taking your professorial route and like leaning back, like let me Zamir. Thank you.
Zamir, I think he's going to check out 1 because he wants to differentiate and see if there's a difference in. Or what the difference is between the formation that has this life magic attached to it and the one that doesn't. If one's dormant or dead, or if there's you know, anything that can be gleaned from that.
Sure. Do you guys want to follow Zamir? It seems like Zamir is on a magical kind of quest
Navasi
y'all don't have to follow me.
Navasi will follow Zumir just because Navasi doesn't think Zumir can handle himself in a fight if something happens.
If these rocks get feisty.
I mean, rock monsters are a thing.
All right. Well, yeah, Drew, you got me. You got me, Drew. Rebecca, it looks like you've moved Day to Area 3. Are you splitting the party?
Yeah.
Yay!
I mean, why not?
What about Obaziah, Tyler? You
Obaziah will follow Day and just be, and she'll can't shoot the rock. Might as well go
Day's
somewhere
just
else.
Day's playing their bass the whole way there, just like strolling along. Yep.
Is all it right, real gang,
keep comms open
bass?
Except for that bass. We need to hear if you're right.
My vision of Day, I don't know what Day is supposed to be like, but my vision of Day is they're like a scat cat jazz kind of kitten. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Picking up what I'm putting down. Yep.
Exactly.
Play the Seinfeld theme.
Let's do Day and Obaziah real quick. As you get to this column of wood and metal rising out of a stone platform, the Magitek Tower, at the top of it, you see a beam of intricately knotted wood seems to rest perpendicular to the column. There are engravings in the metal at the base of the column, and lichen growing on the tower seems to glow with a soft blue light. Indeed, maybe I think taking a look at this, it does match some of the satellites that were seen in by the Stylus of Destiny. But yeah, what would you like to explore on this thing? You got the column, you've got engravings at the bottom.
Yeah, what's the manner of the engravings? Do they say something?
They look like kind of pictogram depictions of things, maybe with some scratches of language that you don't quite understand. If you have art lore, warfare lore, or want to make a society check, Obaziah.
Society?
I think Obaziah has warfare lore. Is that right, Tyler?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a high enough bonus to succeed at these, but...
I should get +2 on these if we are both rolling because I have competitive... What is it called? Competitive spirit? Which means I get a +2 if we're both rolling.
Well, yeah, well, why don't you click on it and what does competitive spirit do? I forget.
It's you push yourself to be the best by competing with the triggering ally. You attempt the same skill check to perform the same action or activity as the triggering ally is performing and you gain a +2 circumstance bonus.
You're not doing the exact same skill check
Don't worry. I'll roll society. No worries. Oh.
Yeah, let's see what your society is like. Are you just trying to... Oh, no, Tyler. Tyler, you brought out... Or Day brought out the best competitive spirit in Obaziah because you rolled a good deal better. But that will also mean, Day, your 13 goes up to a 15. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, it was... Oh, I guess Arcana was
No, it says you gain the +2 circumstance bonus to the check if you achieve at least one degree of success higher than the triggering ally.
No, those are separate sentences. You gain a +2 circumstance bonus to the skill check if you achieve at least one degree of success higher than the triggering ally. The use of competitive spirit does not... Yeah.
Okay, you're right. I did not see the
You can only do this...
a period, not
good
a comma.
Read. Good read, Rebecca. Good read.
This is a reaction. You can only do it once per hour, but I will say both of you have succeeded. It's been 15 minutes to look over the base of the column and these engravings. You see that looks like more depictions of the Magitek satellites, but you actually realize these are depicting starships that seem to be in battle near a planet that looks very suspiciously like Burnham's Bubble, surrounded by a cloud of energy. They are seem to be beings on the planet who are hiding beneath a cloud out of sight of starships. And these life forms are a stout looking people wearing thick robes and their bodies kind of shaped like big old chiseled stone. They have multiple eyes. Suddenly Drew's stone people becomes much more viable.
Now, see, this is what I came here for. Battleships, people hiding. Those battleships definitely have big guns. I'm glad this... Good job, Day. This was a good stone.
As you guys look over these, you're pretty sure that these Magitek towers, indeed, maybe the ones on the ground don't have much to do with the generation of the defensive cloud coverage, the bubble itself, but they might have some other defensive purpose, or they were built for something differently and then they were modified to work on the cloud. But it, you don't think they were originally designed for the creation of the defensive perimeter.
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission. Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.